a heavy snow falls on the city for the second time in just 5 days. The streets, empty and quiet. It feels like a drama unfolding around us. Because it is. Hi, I'm Bill Anderson. This is Central Standard. Let's presume this winter storm isn't providing enough humor and heartache already, and let's talk about a play that promises both. It's a Tony Award nominee. It's called Good People. This is the story of two individuals with similar pasts trying to reconcile economic struggles, loyalty, and the endless hope of coming out on top in America. We'll meet the director and we'll talk to one of the show's lead actors. Later in the hour, we'll return to the real-life drama that is transpiring in our city and get you caught up on this storm. Our updates will come from the National Weather Service, a police captain, and people responsible for clearing the roadways. It's Central Standard, storms on stage and around us after this hour's news. It is Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. It's 1017. I'm Bill Anderson. And we're talking about Good People, and the director is Mark Robbins. It debuts in Kansas City tomorrow. It's a fairly new play. We're having our own little drama play out here this morning, Mark, but let's hope we can keep you on the phone lines at least for a few more minutes.
I never get tired of Dave Brubeck.
Yeah, I know. that did kind of feel pretty good there while we were having our little intermission, as it were.
Right.
But let's talk a little bit about the performance. It's essentially, and you correct me if I'm mistaken, the story of a woman's attempt to make something when she has really nothing in her life. And it's both funny and heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah, both of those things. Funny and heartbreaking and poignant and real and moving. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful play. Well, and very, very timely.
Yeah. Well, tell us about, you know, without giving us too much, without revealing too much, of course, give us the gist of the storyline.
Well, it follows the protagonist. The main character is Margie Walsh, who is a 50-year-old single mom in the South District of Boston. David Lindsay Abaire wrote this play as the first of, I think, multiple plays he plans to write as kind of a hymn to the neighborhood in which he grew up, South
right.
Boston.
Okay.
He's a Southie. And this is a woman who lives on the poverty line. And she's always, as are so many of us nowadays, one paycheck away from destitution. And it starts off with her losing her job.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty true to current life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this. Go ahead.
I'll just give you a short summary. She manages to hook up with a high school flame of hers who has made very good. Mm-hmm. He's becoming a reproductive endocrinologist, and he's back in Boston. And she wangles away to meet him and in search of a job, really. And then she goes to his house, big house, expensive house, Chestnut Hill, a suburb of Boston, and for a birthday party for him. And during the course of that evening, secrets are revealed, truths are uncovered, and things get real.
Well, this play debuted in 2011 at the height of a very sluggish economy. We were in a recession,
right.
And
we're out of one.
Well, it's suggested that the economy or the recession is kind of a character in the play. Is that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. Not just the recession is purportedly temporary, but. It also addresses just the bigger issue of the growing disparity in income and in the amount of money that people own. There's a lot of 99% versus the 1 or 2% in it, and it's a problem. It's a problem in the country that poverty is growing. People's income levels are going down.
Well, talk about your early experience, perhaps the first time you saw the script for Good People, and how did you react?
Well, I've been a fan of David Lindsay Abaire's. I directed another one of his plays called Sunny Mirrors a few years earlier. Loved it, and with a kind of a deceptively wacky and funny framing, he dealt with a lot of great, great stuff, great human issues, and good people blew me away. It was all that and more. It seemed a more fleshed out play, a larger play, and went deeper in both directions. And I love the writing. I love the language. He has an obvious real love for the way people in the people he grew up with speak, and the way they operate on a daily basis, and the way their minds work, and the dialect, the Southie dialect, is wonderful. I mean, it'll either drive you crazy, or you'll get to really, really enjoy it.
Uh huh. Well, this is 2011. This is a fairly new play, and I would think that fact in itself implies some risk for presenting that in Kansas City.
Well, now this is a co-production between the Kansas City Actors Theater and the Unicorn Theater, and then this is the third one we've had. And one nice thing about those co-productions is the fact that the Kansas City Actors Theater tends to go more toward forgotten plays and forgotten playwrights and older works, more established works. And the Unicorn is bold new plays, is edgy theater, contemporary theater. And these co-productions give us at the Actors Theater a chance to dip our toes into something that's more current and more contemporary. And it's a great opportunity.
Well, as I researched the play, I was struck by the fact that there's a lot of humor, but there's a serious tone to this, obviously. And as a director, how do you balance that?
Oh, I just try to keep out of the play's way, as far as that goes. I mean, the play as written does the job. David Lindsay-Abaire has done the work, and all I have to do is try to figure out the various dynamics at work in the play and make sure that happens. Let it happen. Allow it to happen. Let the play breathe.
Well, I think this is a good point to bring actress Jan Rogge into the conversation. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's nice to have you on the air with us after a couple of failed attempts.
Yes, it's been quite a morning. I just talked to Mark briefly, but yeah, I'm one of the thousands whose power went out this morning.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's like, boy, you're really dependent on electricity, you know?
Well, hang tough, and boy, the timing is really unfortunate for you.
Yeah, it is. We already missed one rehearsal from the last snowstorm, so yeah, we'll see about tonight, but we're just going to have to just gather forces and make it work. And like Mark said, it is a beautiful play. And if we just say those words and, get the characters down, the play will just unfold to everybody. So it's going to be exciting to do.
Jan, do you share Mark's enthusiasm for Good People?
Yeah, it's just a beautiful play. I mean, when you read it, you can read it so quickly. And it just unfolds in front of you, and each of the characters are interesting, and they all have their moments. It's just a beautiful play. I mean, you can tell David Lindsay-Abaire has such deep affection for these characters, and he really wanted to do it right. It's the first time he really wrote about where he came from, and I just thought he just did a beautiful homage to them. And it's interesting, too, because he likes to work with truth. What's true and what's not, and playing as an actor in his character in his plays a lot, you're kind of doing two things at the same time. The truth is kind of underneath, and there's another layer. And so almost every scene, you're kind of like, who are the good people? And it kind of it shifts and turns, and I think everybody's going to recognize themselves in the play, too.
And you're the protagonist.
I am the protagonist. You go through the story with her from the beginning, and you can see her, the desperateness, the determination, and the wiliness. And Mark mentioned this when he was when we were in rehearsal, how smart these characters are. Just because you're poor, doesn't mean you're miserable, doesn't mean you're stupid. And I think that's really highlighted. It's just really highlighted. She can match wits with anybody.
Now, Mark's
and with her pals.
Mark said as director, he just tries to stay out of the way. Would come on, just between us, is that true?
Do you really want to know the truth?
Yeah. I think our audience deserves that. It is true.
Stay out of the way.
It is true. I think they say you have to half the battle for directors is casting it, right, Mark? And then
absolutely 80%.
Yeah.
Mark, you just commented, and I'm not sure it was clearly on the airwaves. You said I strive to stay out of the way of the play, not the actors. Talk about that.
Right. I have to get in their way every once in a while.
Of course you do.
Because that's the job, you know. I've been given the job of kind of clarifying and focusing everybody's vision on the playwright's vision.
Yeah.
And when you have a group of six disparate people, you know, very often they have their own takes on it, and you don't want to suppress that in any way. But I'm the ultimate. My job is to be kind of the ultimate arbiter in where the play is going.
Have you two worked together before,
Jan? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah.
Oh yes, we have. Yeah, we worked as. I guess I've directed Jan before, years ago, but mainly our work together has been as actors, co-actors.
And tell us a little.
That was a long time ago. He directed As You Like It.
right.
But, that was a long time.
One of the most recent things we did together was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? We played George and Martha.
Hmm. Jan, I wanted to ask you a question I asked Mark earlier. When you first saw this script, how did you react? Was it one of those moments where you said, I need to be a part of this?
Yeah. I do think it's going to be a classic American kind of heroine. Mm-hmm. I think it'll stand the test of time. And it's difficult to say that with a lot of modern plays. You know, a play can really be fast and furious, like a one-hit single, and in a few years it's just kind of forgotten. But I think women, you know, will be clamoring. They'll be really, you know, trying to be able to have the opportunity to do this role. And I think it's going to be played again and again and again. You know, I think it's that good. It's that good. Mm-hmm. And for scene study classes, people will be using it, I mean, over and over. And I think, if I could just say what's interesting, too, about this play is how they really talk about, I mean, it's really so much about class, so much, and how is it? Do you get out of your the poverty and the culture because you worked hard or because you were lucky?
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that a lot because, you know, it's kind of a gray area how some people can get out and what advantages did they have to get out. I mean, it's big questions, and I think just on NPR yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, on Talk of the Nation, they were just talking about the minimum wage going up to $9 an hour.
Right.
And how that's a really big deal. And she talks about how much she makes and how just because she got over a certain amount, now they're trying to wheedle her out because she's making too much at the dollar store. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to start them off young. And ageism, she's 50-ish, which starting all over again in a minimum non-skilled job, they'd rather go with the young people. So she's got that up against her. And I'm sorry, one other thing, too. Do we talk about her mentally disabled adult daughter that she takes care of? So that's a whole other thing. And I don't know if you know, in Kansas, they just stripped all those disability subsidies for people with, you know, parents with children with disabilities. So it's a very current play.
You know, we're going to have to take a break shortly, but I don't want this question to get away from us. At least for some of the early performances, you're inviting the audience to stick around to talk about the performance. What's the idea here? And I guess that's a question for you, Mark, perhaps?
Well, sure. Yeah, they have a regularly scheduled talkbacks, usually on Sundays, sometimes Tuesdays. When people, a lot of theaters in town do this very thing. And anyone who cares to stay afterward and have a have a discussion about the play with the director and the actors and the artistic director, possibly, are invited to stay and have a lively discussion afterwards. And it's always really wonderful because people stay who want to say something. But they, generally they don't want to just stay to listen to the discussion. They stay because they want to participate in the process. And that's great. That's great. Because, you know, not to sound too trite, but these people are why we do this. And we want to make sure that we reach out and communicate in as direct a way as possible with these people for our own sakes, to find out, were we clear? Were we effective? Did we move you? Would you, you know, are you going to tell your friends
yeah, right.
about the play?
Jan, as an actress, how does this inform you? How does this perhaps improve the way you perform or change the way you perform? Or maybe it doesn't at all.
No, I tell you, what Mark, too, as a director, he's like the conductor, I say, of the orchestra. And because Mr. Aubert, you know, wrote such a beautiful play, and he's got the pauses and the beats and the silence all kind of integrated into the dialogue, Margaret sets up the pace, and he makes sure that we keep the pace up, because if you don't, you have to know when to slow down. It's an integral part of the dialogue, and it's really got me on my, you know, you can't sit back with it. You got to be on your toes with this show. It's a very aggressive role, you know, and a very demanding role. So it's exciting from, it's very exciting.
Jan,
I can't wait. I can't wait to show it in front of an audience.
I love your enthusiasm and your passion, Jan. Jan Rogge plays Margaret, a woman trying to get a leg up economically in a recession. Jan, continued success.
Thank you so much.
And Mark Robbins is the director of Good People. It opens at the Unicorn Theater tomorrow. Hey, Mark, good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. I hope we can get there.
Yeah, I hope you can, too. And, boy, I'll be thinking about you.
Oh, thanks, thanks.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. Just ahead, an update on this second storm in less than a week. It's made for unbearable driving. Thousands are without power. We'll talk about that. And perhaps the upside of a storm like this. Yes, there can be an upside. I'm Bill Anderson. You're listening to Central Standard.